ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः।
Welcome back to the live studios here in Govardhan, just across the street from Giriraj Govardhan, that famous hill, Haridasa Varyo, the best servant of Krishna and Krishna at the same time. Modern Vedic family, all steeped in Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. We're on Canto 7, Chapter 12, The Perfect Society, Four Spiritual Classes. Beginning with text 16, and we're off and running. By practicing this way, whether one be in the Brahmachari Ashram, Grihastha Ashram, Vanaprastha Ashram, or Sannyasa Ashram, one must always realize the all-pervading presence of the Supreme Lord. For in this way, it is possible to understand the Absolute Truth. Purport. This is the beginning of self-realization. One must first understand how Brahman is present everywhere and how he is acting. This education is called Brahma Jigyasa and is the real concern of human life. Without such knowledge, one cannot claim to be a human being. Rather, he remains in the animal kingdom. As it is said, Saeva Gokada. Without such knowledge, one is no better than a cow or an ass. 17. O King, I shall now describe the qualifications for a vanaprastha, one who is retired from family life. By rigidly following the rules and regulations for the vanaprastha, one can easily be elevated to the upper planetary system known as Mahaloka. Text 18. A person in vanaprastha life should not eat grains grown by tilling of the fields. He should also not eat grains that have grown without tilling of the field, but are not fully ripe. Nor should a vanaprastha eat grains cooked in fire. Indeed, he should eat only grains and root and fruit ripened by the sunshine. Text 19. A vanaprastha should prepare cakes to be offered in sacrifice from fruits and grains grown naturally in the forest. When he obtains some new grains, he should give up his old stock of grains. Text 20. A vanaprastha should prepare a thatched cottage or take shelter of a cave in a mountain only to keep the sacred fire, but he should personally practice enduring snowfall, wind, fire, rain, and the shining of the sun. 21. The vanaprastha should wear matted locks of hair on his head and let his body, hair, nails, and mustache grow. He should not cleanse his body of dirt. He should keep a water pot, deerskin, and rod, wear the bark of a tree as a covering, and use garments colored like fire. 22. Being very thoughtful, a vanaprastha should remain in the forest for 12 years, 8 years, 4 years, 2 years, or at least 1 year. He should behave in such a way that he will not be disturbed or troubled by too much austerity. Okay, what would too much austerity be then? 23. When because of disease or old age one is unable to perform his prescribed duties for advancement in spiritual consciousness or study of the Vedas, he should practice fasting, not taking any food. 24. He should properly place the fire element in his own self, and in this way give up bodily affinity by by which one thinks the body to be oneself or one's own. One should gradually merge the material body into the five elements, earth, water, fire, air, and sky. Purport. The body is an effect of a cause, namely, the five material elements, earth, water, fire, air, and sky. In other words, one should know perfectly well that the material body is nothing but a combination of the five elements. This knowledge constitutes merging of the material body and the five material elements. Merging into Brahman in perfect knowledge means understanding perfectly that one is not the body, but a spiritual soul. Text 25. A sober, self-realized person who has full knowledge should merge the various parts of the body in their original sources. The holes in the body are caused by the sky, the process of breathing is caused by the air, the heat of the body is caused by fire, and semen, blood, and mucus are caused by water. The hard substances like skin, muscle, and bone are caused by earth. In this way, all the constituents of the body are caused by various elements, and they should be merged again into those elements. Purport. To be self-realized, one must understand the original sources of the various elements of the body. The body is a combination of skin, bone, muscle, blood, semen, urine, stool, heat, breath, and so on, which all come from earth, water, fire, air, and sky. One must be well conversant with the sources of all the bodily constituents. Then one becomes a self-realized person, or Atmavan, one who knows the self.
Thereafter, the object of speech, along with the sense of speech, the tongue, should be bestowed upon fire. Craftsmanship and the two hands should be given to the demigod Indra. The power of movement and the legs should be given to Lord Vishnu. Sensual pleasure, along with the genitals, should be bestowed upon Prajapati. The rectum, with the power of evacuation, should be bestowed in its proper place unto Mrityu. The oral instrument, along with sound vibration, should be given to the deities presiding over the directions. The instrument of touch, along with the sense objects of touch, should be given to Vayu. Form, with the power of sight, should be bestowed upon the sun. The tongue, along with the demigod Varuna, should be bestowed upon water. And the power of smell, along with the two Ashwini Kumara demigods, should be bestowed upon the earth. The mind, along with all material desires, should be merged in the moon demigod. All the subject matters of intelligence, along with the intelligence itself, should be placed in Lord Brahma. False ego, which is under the influence of the material modes of nature, and which induces one to think, I am this body and everything connected with this body is mine, should be merged along with material activities in Rudra, the predominating deity of false ego. Material consciousness, along with the goal of thought, should be merged in the individual living being, and the demigods acting under the modes of material nature should be merged along with the perverted living being into the supreme being. The earth should be merged in water, water in the brightness of the sun, this brightness into the air into the sky into the false ego into the total material energy, the total material energy into the unmanifested ingredients, the pratana feature of the material energy, and at last, the ingredient feature of material manifestation into the supersoul.
Oh, I see.
Sophie, my gosh.
Translation, 31. When all the material designations have thus merged into their respective material elements, the living beings, who are all ultimately completely spiritual, being one in quality with the Supreme Being, should cease from material existence as flames cease when the wood in which they are burning is consumed. When the material body is returned to its various material elements, only the spiritual being remains. This spiritual being is Brahman and is equal in quality with Parabrahman.
Oh, I see. I see now what you're doing. Oh, yeah, I got it.
Thus, Sami Bhaktivedanta purports of the 7th canto, 12th chapter, Srimad-Bhagavatam, added the perfect society for spiritual classes. Chapter 13, the behavior of a perfect person. Text 1. Sri Narada Muni said, a person able to cultivate spiritual knowledge should renounce all material connections. And merely keeping the body inhabitable, he should travel from one place to another, passing only one night in each village. In this way, without dependence in regard to the needs of the body, a sannyasi should travel all over the world. Text 2. A person in the renounced order of life may try to avoid even a dress to cover himself. If he wears anything at all, it should be only a loincloth, and when there is no necessity, a sannyasi should not even accept a danda. A sannyasi should avoid carrying anything but a danda and kamandalu. The sannyasi, completely satisfied in the self, should live on alms, begged from door to door. Not being dependent on any person or any place, he should always be friendly. He should always be a friendly, well-wisher to all living beings and be a peaceful, unalloyed devotee of Narayana. In this way, he should move from place to place, from one place to another. Text 4. The sannyasi should always try to see the Supreme, pervading everything and see everything, including this universe, resting on the Supreme. During unconsciousness and consciousness, and between the two, he should try to understand the self and be fully situated in the self. In this way, he should realize that the conditional and liberated stages of life are only illusory and not actually factual. With such a higher understanding, he should see only the absolute truth pervading everything. Purport. The unconscious state is nothing but ignorance, darkness, or material existence. And in the conscious state, one is awake. The marginal state between consciousness and unconsciousness has no permanent existence. Therefore, one who is advanced in understanding the self should understand that unconsciousness and consciousness are but illusions, for they fundamentally do not exist. Only the Supreme Absolute Truth exists, as confirmed by the Lord in Bhagavad Gita 9.4. Maya tatamidam sarvam jat avyakta mritina sarvabhutani nachaham te shavastitaha. By me and my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. Everything exists on the basis of Krishna's impersonal feature. Nothing can exist without Krishna. Confirmed. Therefore, the advanced devotee can see the Lord everywhere. Therefore, the advanced devotee of Krishna can see the Lord everywhere without illusion.
Since the material body is sure to be vanquished, and the duration of one's life is not fixed, neither death nor life is to be praised. Rather, one should observe the eternal time factor in which the living entity manifests himself and disappears. Purport, the living entities in the material world, not only at the present, but also in the past, have been involved in trying to solve the problem of birth and death. Some stress death and point to the illusory existence of everything material, whereas others stress life, trying to preserve it perpetually and to enjoy it to the best of their ability. Both of them are fools and rascals. It is advised that one observe the eternal time factor, which is the cause of the material body's appearance and disappearance, and that one observe the living entity's entanglement in this time factor. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur therefore sings in his Gitavali, Anadi karma pale padi bhava naru jale, tari bhadi na deki upayo. One should observe the activities of eternal time, which is the cause of birth and death. Before the creation of the present millennium, the living entities were under the influence of the time factor, and within the time factor, the material world comes into existence and is again annihilated. Bhutva, bhutva, praliyate. Being under the control of the time factor, the living entities appear and die, life after life. This time factor is the impersonal representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who gives the living entities, conditioned by material nature, a chance to emerge from this nature by surrendering to Him. Oh yes, that mic.
Hate to interrupt, I was just wondering if you can clarify what it means that this verse says that the duration of one's life is not fixed.
Well, from one side, we have no idea when it's going to be over. So, in that sense, it's not fixed. It may be fixed according to the schedule of eternal time and our karma, but we have no idea about that. So from that sense, it's not fixed. Besides that, there are other discussions that can be had. For instance, there's the discussion of untimely death, which I find endlessly fascinating. Well, just the fact that, you know, you get a certain, according to your karma, there's a certain number of breaths you get, and this, you're supposed to live for a certain amount of time. But if you are extremely inattentive to the super soul because of being in the mode of ignorance, or you are in the mode of ignorance and therefore destroy your own life or something like that, that can't be counted as your karma. It's called untimely death, because you expedited things because of your foolishness in the mode of ignorance.
Calculation fall into different factors that an astrologer may use to calculate, because some astrologers can supposedly calculate the moment of death. Do you have anything to say about that? Or
no, that's what I'm saying. It's not. It's untimely. Anyhow, I mean, yes. Okay, go ahead.
And if you cause death of another,
broken. It's finished. What kind of thing would happen? Battery?
Hello.
There it is.
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello. Hello.
Happens next door from time to time. What was I going to say? Yes, if you cause the untimely death of another living being, it's a very sinful
very serious intellect, and you have to pay dearly.
Tell me, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Verse 5, it says that therefore one who is advanced in understanding the self should understand that unconsciousness and consciousness are but illusions.
That's right. That we discussed earlier because we heard about the three stages of consciousness, which are sleeping, dreaming, and deep sleep without any dreaming. And then one has to rise above all of those three phases to be actually in transcendental consciousness.
May I offer a verse?
I see the remaining time to the gentleman from
of the assembled sages. Nasato vidite bhavo, na bhavo vidite sada, ubayor abhidrishtuntas, tanos tadarshi bhi. So those who are seers of the truth, they see that what is non-existent has no endurance, and when they think there is existence, they endure forever. So, what it's talking about here is neither; it's not eternal, so therefore it doesn't exist.
Thank you. More? Yes. Checking. Okay. So we're on to text number 7. Literature that is a useless waste of time. In other words, literature without spiritual benefit should be rejected. One should not become a professional teacher as a means of earning one's livelihood, nor should one indulge in arguments and counter-arguments, nor should one take shelter of any cause or faction. This is talking about the sannyasa ashram specifically, but general principles that are enunciated by Rupa Goswami and his Vajravegam, Manasakrodavegam, and so forth. A person desiring to advance in spiritual understanding should be extremely careful to avoid reading ordinary literature. The world is full of ordinary literature that creates unnecessary agitation in the mind. Such literature, including newspapers, dramas, novels, and magazines, is factually not meant for advancement in spiritual knowledge. Indeed, it has been described as a place of pilgrimage, place of enjoyment for crows, tadvayasam tirtam. Anyone advancing in spiritual knowledge must reject such literature. Furthermore, one should not concern oneself with the conclusions of various logicians or philosophers. Of course, those who preach sometimes need to argue with the contentions of opponents, but as much as possible, one should avoid an argumentative attitude. In this connection, Srila Madhvacharya says, aparayojana pakshana samshayet na prajajana pakshisyan na vrita shishya bhandakrit na chodasina shastrani na virudhani chabhyasyat na vakyayopajiveta na nishitan samacharet evam bhuto yatiryati tareka sharano harim. There's no need to take shelter of unnecessary literature or concern oneself with many so-called philosophers and thinkers who are useless for spiritual advancement. Nor should one accept a disciple for the sake of fashion or popularity. One should be callous to these so-called shastras, neither opposing nor favoring them. And one should not earn one's livelihood by taking money for explaining shastra. A sannyasi must always be neutral and seek the means to advance in spiritual life, taking full shelter under the lotus feet of the Lord. 8. A sannyasi must not present allurements of material benefits to gather many disciples, nor should he unnecessarily read many books or give discourses as a means of livelihood. He must never attempt to increase material opulences unnecessarily. Purport, so-called swamis and yogis generally make disciples by alluring them with material benefits. There are many so-called gurus who attract disciples by promising to cure their diseases or increase their material opulence by manufacturing gold. These are lucrative allurements for unintelligent men. A sannyasi is prohibited from making disciples through such material allurements. Sannyasis sometimes indulge in material opulence by unnecessarily constructing many temples and monasteries, but actually such endeavors should be avoided. Temples and monasteries should be constructed for the preaching of spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness, not to provide free hotels for persons who are useful for neither material nor spiritual purposes. Temples and monasteries should be strictly off limits to worthless clubs of crazy men. In the Krishna consciousness movement, we welcome everyone who agrees at least to follow the movement's regulative principles: no illicit sex, no intoxication, no meeting, and no gambling. In the temples and monasteries, gatherings of unnecessary, rejected, lazy fellows should be strictly disallowed. The temples and monasteries should be used exclusively by devotees who are serious about spiritual advancement and Krishna consciousness. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains the word Aramban as meaning Matari Vyaparan, which means attempts to construct temples and monasteries. The first business of the sannyasi is to preach Krishna consciousness. But if, by the grace of Krishna, facilities are available, then he may construct temples and monasteries to give shelter to the serious students of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, such temples and monasteries are not needed. 9. A peaceful, equipoised person who is factually advanced in spiritual consciousness does not need to accept the symbols of a sannyasi, such as the tridanda and kamandalu. According to necessity, he may sometimes accept those symbols and sometimes reject them. Purport, there are four stages of the renounced order of life: Kutichak, Bahudak, Parivrajakacharya, and Paramahamsa. Herein, Srimad Bhagavatam considers the Paramahamsas among the sannyasis. The Mayavadi impersonalist sannyasis cannot attain the Paramahamsa stage. This is because of their impersonal conception of the Absolute Truth. Prameti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdyate. The Absolute Truth is perceived in three stages, of which bhagavan, or realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is meant for the Paramahamsas. Indeed, Srimad Bhagavatam itself is meant for the Paramahamsas. Paramo nimat saranam satam. Unless one is in the Paramahamsa stage, he is not eligible to understand the Srimad Bhagavatam. For Paramahamsas or sannyasis in the Vaishnava order, preaching is the first duty. To preach, such sannyasis may accept the symbols of sannyas, such as the danda and kamandalu, or sometimes they may not. Generally, the Vaishnava sannyasis, being Paramahamsas, are automatically called babajis, and they do not carry a kamandalu or danda. Such a sannyasi is free to accept or reject the marks of sannyas. His only thought is, where is there an opportunity to spread Krishna consciousness? God. Sometimes the Krishna conscious movement sends its representative sannyasis to foreign countries where the danda and kamandalu are not very much appreciated. We send our preachers in ordinary dress to introduce our books and philosophy. Our only concern is to attract people to Krishna consciousness. We may do this in the dress of sannyasis or in the regular dress of gentlemen. Our only concern is to spread interest in Krishna consciousness. I really like how in the same context as talking about babajis, Prabhupada in the next line says, preaching Krishna consciousness. It's so abundantly clear that this is the path to success coming down through this line. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's line, and especially Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, and Srila Prabhupada: if you dedicate your life to preaching and adjust everything around that principle, you're hearing and chanting and engaging that so that you can preach more and everything else in your life, then success is guaranteed. It's the ultimate renunciation. Yes, Prabhu? What a purport. I mean, that's one of the all-time great classics. Thank you.
A couple of verses back, the verse was saying that sannyasi shouldn't make a living, give discourses as a means of livelihood. So, obviously giving discourses is part of what sannyasis do. In fact, Prabhupada just said that. But just to clarify, so then, there should be no connection between one's preaching of Krishna consciousness and what one does as a sannyasi to maintain their body. Is that the understanding?
Well, specifically in that context, it's talking about teaching Bhagavatam, or preaching, right? Speaking Bhagavatam for the sake of making money?
It's verse 8. It says, should not present lumas of material benefits to gather many disciples, nor should he unnecessarily read many books, or give discourses as a means of livelihood.
Right. It's just like this, you know, here at Govardhan during Kartik, you see these big hoardings where they're advertising this yogi and that yogi. Those people are professionals, for the most part. I mean, I don't know who they all are, but so I don't want to make an offense. But some... Okay, practically all of them are, Gopi used to say, but you know, they'll come for a fee, and they're being paid because they're expert. You know, they've memorized all the leelas, they also have music, they have a whole, you know, dog and pony show. They set it up, and you know, everyone comes, they weep, and then they go home and smoke a beedi. So, you know, it's a professional thing. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta used to have a diorama where they had a man out there preaching Bhagavatam, and then there was a real thin veil, and behind it, you know, the woman was there, the baby was there, and you know, it showed like his hidden motive was, I'm feeding the family by doing this. And he also said how the shalagram, such people, it's equivalent to using a shalagram shila to crack nuts so you can have a little snack like that.
So then Giving discourses is bona fide, accepting donations is bona fide, but being attached to it, charging a fee, living off of that, that's where the...
Yeah, I mean, it's yajan, yajan, patan, patan, dhanan, pratigraha. It's part of the duty, you know, to accept, but the person doesn't... Like Prabhupada, he would accept donations, but he didn't touch them. He, you know, everything was all... He touched them, but it was all passed on to... Spreading Krishna consciousness all gets burned in the fire of Sankirtan because everything's being used for expanding the preaching. He's not keeping it, you know, to make a more comfortable lifestyle. So yes, you can accept donations, but it's not like he's charging and that's his expectation. That's why he's going there. Like if he makes a distinction, say a sannyasi is going door to door to beg, and then he thinks, well, that neighborhood's better. Because, you know, like, they're really going to give me more. But he should be not discriminate. In fact, that's there in the Shastra. And we may even come to it in this section. I think it's here. But if he thinks that like, that's more lucrative, that's not what it means by doing the Madhukari. It means you should just depend on Krishna, whatever happens. And whatever people give as a result of your preaching, then you accept that as Krishna's mercy and you use it to expand.
Personal principle that I live by, that I don't ask for myself. And whatever comes, comes, and I use it in Christian service, and whatever I need, it appears. It's mystical. If you don't ask, then and it comes to you, and you use it for Christian service, it's being sent by Krishna as a gift for your preaching.
Free gift.
Maharaj, in the same context, like sometime when we go for a book distribution, we choose the area where like people are favorable, so is that it also comes
in? It's slightly different. I mean, Prabhupada writes in one place, he said, if you find that your preaching isn't being accepted very well in one place, it doesn't mean that you have to stay there. You're not going there for yourself. You're going there because you're trying to connect to the people, so that it's different. It's a different motivation. We do pick out, we strategize and we try to pick out the best places. Of course, we also go to places where, you know, anything can happen. And we make the best of it. And we also approach everybody because you never know. And that's one of the ways that Sankirtan develops this kind of mentality. It's like you just depend on Krishna. Everybody does who does Sankirtan book distribution knows that you rise above the mind by just engaging everybody, right? And you don't make a discrimination. This person will give, that person won't. One, two.
Earlier, Prabhupada was mentioning the principle of mundane literatures and how they're just, you know, garbage and a waste of time. And I understand as a sadhaka how one should avoid those literatures and how they can just disturb the mind, like Prabhupada said. At the same time, I'm a little curious if you can give some light on this other aspect of it, where we see many people, maybe even ourselves, have actually derived a lot of light and benefit and growth from absorbing ourselves in literatures in the past when we didn't have access to this level of knowledge. And people have benefited. I've benefited. It's been very helpful for different people that have discussed. I've discussed with, and even recently, there was a class today, Bhagavatam class. The speaker mentioned that. Or was it yesterday? Anyway, it was mentioned that The Meaning of Life, this book by a Holocaust survivor, and how it's very profound, and it gives sheds some light. So could you maybe shed some light?
He gave a little clause in there. He said, of course, if someone's preaching and orients him or herself to the, you know, to some kind of information to present it, then that's a different thing. And Prabhupada obviously read stuff, because if you look at his original Back to Godhead magazines, he was going through and noticing, you know, what the political atmosphere was, what the trends were, and everything like that. And he did read sometimes current events, but it was with a different frame of reference. He's like looking at it to utilize it for preaching. And sometimes people get into various kinds of self-help thing, and then that becomes their main focus. And then they start saying, like, you have to have this in order to actually become Krishna conscious. No, that really happens. As people take a seminar, and then they'll say, oh, this is why I'm not Krishna conscious. I didn't have this seminar before. Everyone has to take it. Otherwise, you can't understand Prabhupada's books and so forth. And that can happen. And also just wasting time. Like, I noticed, when was it, I hate to even bring it up, maybe it was 2 years ago, 2016, we were here, and then the big election, there was an election in America, probably some of you heard about it, and I just remember, like, I just avoid the news, but then, after that the whole thing broke out, like, for a little while, my mind got absorbed in think, this couldn't be true, and then, I was just trying to think, they're all going to, like, retract this within a month and just say, you know, we made a mistake, we're sorry, we take it back, you know? And then, you know, I kept looking in, like, when's it going to happen, you know? And it never did, but I just got more and more anxiety. But then I went back in my hole and I said, that's it, I don't want to watch, I don't want to hear about it anymore. And I, as far as the news goes, I found this way that I feel satisfied, and that is, any kind of news that's actually I need to know about, it'll rise to a certain threshold where I'll hear it on the street. Somebody will come up and go, hey, guess what? You know, half of such and such is gone, you know? Or, you know, such and such died, or whatever, you know? And then you can filter it out at that level and say, nah, I don't need that. But you'll hear it at the barbershop if it's that important, and you don't have to actually look into it. Especially nowadays, because they compile it with such, you know, with an idea to agitate your mind.
There's a purport, actually, in which Srila Prabhupada said, as I write this, we have a, what was it? Between India and China. And then he made the comment that they're fighting over this piece of land that's uninhabitable, no use to anybody, but just because of, you know, one thinks it belongs to him and the other thinks it belongs to them, and it's fights up in the world, and what's right and what's wrong, what's true and what's not, et cetera, et cetera. And then and takes you to, a selfless act of giving up fruits and so forth, on one after another, to meditating on a Krishna, then of course it's to be accepted.
just wanted to ask a question about, I believe when one Prabhupada was asked what would please him the most, and this devotee thought that Prabhupada would say, distribute, and Prabhupada said, just learn to love Krishna. So that story kind of brought out a question that what would be some situations in which my service would not lead to developing love? What would disconnect between my service and developing or trying to love Krishna? And how do we recognize that disconnect within our own life, that this is a service I'm doing, but it's not feeding my devotion to Krishna, but rather feeding something else? How do I?
Well, there's a lot in there in the nectar of instruction. You know, the six things that hamper devotional service. Those are so. I was appreciating the other day that Rupa Goswami categorized those things so succinctly that you can practically write them on your thumb. And really, if you follow all the things that foster devotion, written about the, you know, you know, the more subtle aspect, certain way itself, but it's left behind. But it's not. I don't think because Prabhupada answered the question in that way, it means that we could be doing service and then not be successful if we're sincere. And also, you know, he answered questions in different ways according to context also. For instance, you know, sometimes when people would come to Prabhupada, and there were obviously two camps in front of him, and they both wanted to win the conversation, and Prabhupada could sense it right away. This person, they're asking because these two are having an argument, and one wants to win over the other. Prabhupada would normally give an answer that would be neutral, so that both of them, you know, no one had anything to grab onto and say, okay, gotcha, you know. And so, you know, in some of these contexts where people were expecting to say, you know, book distribution, because then they could go beat people over the head with it and say, see, I told you, we're the best. You know, he would say, of course, love of Godhead. You know, so you have to look at the various things Prabhupada said.
Vrindavan in 1976, I believe.
75,
yes, 75. And all there was a darshan with all the books and distributors. And then one of them asked Prabhupada, so Srila Prabhupada, what service is most intimate, or something like that. I don't remember the exact words, but it was something like that. And everyone was just waiting on their, you know, to see, for him to say book distribution or sankirtan or something like that. He said, pujari. So if they're real attached, he would say something just the opposite, to kind of like, shh.
We're continuing on text 9. A peaceful, equipoised person who is factually advanced in spiritual consciousness does not need to accept this 10. Although a saintly person may not expose himself to the vision of human society, by his behavior, his purpose is disclosed. To human society, he should present himself like a restless child, and although he is the greatest thoughtful orator, he should present himself like a dumb man. Purport. A great personality, very much advanced in Krishna consciousness, may not expose himself by the signs of a sannyasi. To cover himself, he may live like a restless child or a dumb person, although he is the greatest orator or poet.
11. As a historical example of this, learned sages recite the story of an ancient discussion between Prahlad Maharaj and a great saintly person who was feeding himself like a python. Purport. The saintly person met by Prahlad Maharaj was undergoing Ajagaravriti, the living conditions of a python, which does not go anywhere but sits in one place for years and eats whatever is automatically available. Prahlad Maharaj, along with his associates, met this great saint and spoke to him as follows. Prahlad Maharaj, the most dear servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, once went on out touring the universe with some of his confidential associates just to study the nature of saintly persons. Thus he arrived at the bank of the river Kaveri, where there was a mountain known as Saya. There he found a great saintly person who was lying on the ground, covered with dirt and dust, but who was deeply spiritually advanced. 14. Lighted by that saintly person's activities, by his bodily features, by his words, nor by the symptoms of his varnashrama status, could people understand whether he was the same person they had known. Purport. The inhabitants of that particular place on the bank of the Kaveri, in the valley of the mountain known as Saya, were unable to understand whether that saint was the same man they had known. It is therefore said, Vaishnaveda Kriya Mudra Vigyena Bhujaya, a highly advanced Vaishnava lives in such a way that no one can understand what he is or what he was. Nor should attempts be made to understand the past of a Vaishnava. Without asking the saintly person about his previous life, Prahlad Maharaj immediately offered him respectful obeisances. 15. The advanced devotee Prahlad Maharaj duly worshipped and offered obeisances to the saintly person who had adopted a python's means of livelihood. After thus worshipping the saintly person and touching his own head to the saint's lotus feet, Prahlad Maharaj, in order to understand him, inquired very submissively as follows.
Seeing the saintly person to be quite fat, Prahlad Maharaj said, "My dear sir, you undergo no extra endeavor to earn your livelihood, but you have... My dear sir, you undergo no endeavor to earn your livelihood, but you have a stout body, exactly like that of a materialistic enjoyer. I know that if one is very rich and has nothing to do, he becomes extremely fat by eating and sleeping and performing no work." Purport, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did not like his disciples to become very fat in the course of time. He would become very anxious upon seeing his fat disciples becoming bogies or enjoyers of the senses. This attitude is herewith confirmed by Prahlad Maharaj, who was surprised to see a saintly person adopting ajagaravritti and becoming very fat. In the material world also, we generally see that when a man who is poor and skinny gradually endeavors to earn money through business or some other means, and he then gets money, he enjoys the senses to his satisfaction. By enjoying the senses, one becomes fat. Therefore, in spiritual advancement, becoming fat is not at all satisfactory. 18. O Brahmana, fully in knowledge of transcendence, you have nothing to do, and therefore you are lying down. It is also understood that you have no money for sense enjoyment. How then has your body become so fat? Under the circumstances, if you do not consider my question impudent, kindly explain how this has happened. Purport. Generally, those engaged in spiritual advancement take food only once, either in the afternoon or in the evening. If one takes food only once, naturally he does not become fat. The learned sage, however, was quite fat, and therefore Prahlad Maharaj was very much surprised. Because of being experienced in self-realization, a transcendentalist certainly becomes bright-faced. And one who is advanced in self-realization must be considered to possess the body of a brahmana. Because the bright-faced saintly person was lying down and not working, and yet was quite fat, Prahlad Maharaj was puzzled and wanted to question him about this. 19. Your Honor appears learned, expert, and intelligent in every way. You can speak very well, saying things that are pleasing to the heart. You see that people in general are engaged in fruitful activities, yet you are lying here inactive. Purport. Prahlad Maharaj studied the bodily features of the saintly person, and through the saint's physiognomy, Prahlad Maharaj could understand that he was intelligent and expert. although he was lying down and not doing anything. Prahlad was naturally inquisitive about why he was lying there inactive. 20. Narada Muni continued, when the saintly person was thus questioned by Prahlad Maharaj, the king of the Daityas, he was captivated by this shower of nectarian words and replied to the inquisitiveness of Prahlad Maharaj with a smiling face.
The saintly Brahmana said, O best of the Asuras, Prahlad Maharaj, who are recognized by advanced and civilized men, you are aware of the different stages of life because of your inherent transcendental eyes, with which you can see a man's character and thus know clearly the results of acceptance and rejection of things as they are. Purport. A pure devotee like Prahlad Maharaj can understand the minds of others because of his pure vision in devotional service. A devotee like Prahlad Maharaj can study another man's character without difficulty. 22. Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is full of all opulences, is predominant within the core of your heart because of you being a pure devotee. He always drives away all the darkness of ignorance as the sun drives away the darkness of the universe. Purport. The words bhaktya kevalaya indicate that simply by executing devotional service, one can become full of all knowledge. Krishna is the master of all knowledge. Aishwaryasya samagasya viryasya yashayak sriyam. The Lord is situated in everyone's heart. Ishwarak sarvabhutanam riddhishar junatishtati. And when the Lord is pleased with the devotee, the Lord instructs him. Only to the devotees, however, does the Lord give instructions by which to advance further and further in devotional service. To others, the non-devotees, the Lord gives instructions according to the manner of their surrender. The pure devotee is described by the words bhaktya kevalaya. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that bhaktya kevalaya means jnana karmajana amishvaya, unmixed with fruitive activities or speculative knowledge. Simply surrendering at the Lord's lotus feet is the cause of all the devotees' enlightenment and awareness. Yomam ayamam asamudo janadi purushottamam sisarve vidbhajantimam sarva bhavani bharata. 23. My dear King, although you know everything, you have posed some questions which I shall try to answer according to what I have learned by hearing from authorities. I cannot remain silent in this regard, for a personality like you is just fit to be spoken to by one who desires self-purification. Purport. A saintly person doesn't wish to speak to anyone and everyone, and he is therefore grave and silent. Generally, a common man does not need to be advised. Unless one is prepared to take instructions, it is said that a saintly person should not address him, although sometimes, because of great kindness, a saintly person speaks to ordinary men. As for Prahlad Maharaj, however, since he was not a common, ordinary man, whatever questions he posed would have to be answered, even by a great and exalted personality. Therefore the saintly Brahmana did not remain silent, but began to answer. These answers, however, were not concocted by him. This is indicated by the words yatashutam, meaning as I have heard from the authorities. In the parampara system, when the questions are bona fide, the answers are bona fide. Let's read that one again. In the parampara system, when the questions are bona fide, the answers are bona fide. No one should attempt to create or manufacture answers. One must refer to the shastras and give answers according to Vedic understanding. The words yatashrutam refer to Vedic knowledge. The Vedas are known as Shruti because this knowledge is received from authorities. The statements of the Vedas are known as Shruti Praman. One should quote evidence from the Shruti, the Vedas or Vedic literature, and then one's statements will be correct. Otherwise, one's words will proceed from mental concoction. Text 24. Because of insatiable material desires, I was being carried away by the waves of material nature's laws, and thus I was engaging in different activities, struggling for existence in various forms of life. Purport. As long as a living entity wants to fulfill various types of material desire, he must continuously change from one body to accept another. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that as a small piece of grass falls in a river and is tossed about with different types of wood and tree branches, the living entity floats in the ocean of material existence and is dashed and tossed amidst material conditions. This is called the struggle for existence. One kind of fruitive activity causes the living being to take one form of body, and because of actions performed in that body, another body is created. One must therefore stop these material activities, and the chance to do so is given in the human form of life. Specifically, our energy to act should be engaged in the service of the Lord, for then materialistic activities will automatically stop. One must fulfill one's desires by surrendering unto the Supreme Lord, for He knows how to fulfill them. Even though one may have material desires, one should therefore engage in the devotional service of your Lord. That will purify one's struggle for existence. Akama savakama va mokshakama udaradihi tivrina bhakti yogina yajita purusham padam. A person who has broader intelligence, whether he be full of all material desire, without any material desire, or desiring liberation, must by all means worship the Supreme Whole, the Personality of Godhead. Anyabhilashitasyunyam jnanakamadyanavitam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakta uttamam. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord, Krishna, favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. 25. In the course of the evolutionary process, which is caused by fruitive activities due to undesirable material sense gratification, I have received this human form of life, which can lead to the heavenly planets, to liberation, or to the lower species, or to rebirth among human beings. Purport. All living entities within this material world are undergoing this cycle of birth and death according to the laws of nature. This struggle of birth and death in different species may be called the evolutionary process, but in the Western world it has been wrongly explained. Darwin's theory of evolution from animal to man is incomplete because the theory does not present the reverse condition, namely evolution from man to animal. In this verse, however, evolution has been very well explained on the strength of Vedic authority. Human life, which is obtained in the course of the evolutionary process, is a chance for elevation, svarga pavarga, or for degradation, tirashchan punar asyacha. If one uses this human form of life properly, he can elevate himself to the higher planetary systems, where material happiness is many thousands of times better than on this planet. Or one may cultivate knowledge by which to become free from the evolutionary process and be reinstated in one's original spiritual life. Reinstated. This is called apavarga, or liberation. Material life is called pavarga because here we are subject to five different states of suffering, represented by the letters pa, pa, ba, ba, ma. Pa means parishama, very hard later. Pa means pena, or foam from the mouth. For example, sometimes we see a horse foaming at the mouth with heavy labor. Ba means byartata, disappointment. In spite of so much hard labor, at the end we find disappointment. Bha means bhaya, or fear. In material life, one is always in the blazing fire of fear, since no one knows what will happen next. Finally, ma means mrityu, or death. When one attempts to nullify these five different statuses of life, pra, pra, ba, bra, ma, and ma, one achieves apavarga, or liberation from the punishment of material existence. The word tirascham, refers to degraded life. Human life, of course, provides an opportunity for the best living conditions. As Western people think, from the monkeys come the human beings, who are more comfortably situated. However, if one does not utilize his human life for swarga or apavarga, he falls again to the degraded life of animals, like dogs and hogs. Therefore, a sane human being must consider whether he will elevate himself to the higher planets, prepare to free himself from the evolutionary process, or travel again through the evolutionary process in higher and lower grades of life. If one works piously, one may be elevated to the higher planetary systems or achieve liberation and return home back to Godhead. But otherwise, one may be degraded to a life as a hog, a dog, a hog, and so on. As explained in Bhagavad Gita 9.25, Yanti deva vita devan, those interested in being elevated to the higher planetary systems, devaloka or swargaloka, must prepare to do so. Similarly, if one wants liberation and wants to return home back to Godhead, he should prepare himself for that purpose. Our Krishna consciousness movement is therefore the highest movement for the benediction of human society, because this movement is teaching people how to go back home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita 13.22, it is clearly stated that different forms of life are obtained by association with the three modes of material nature. Karanam guna sangosya sarasad yoni janmasu. According to ignorance, in this life... Oh, I'm sorry, I looked at my watch. I thought I was supposed to stand up. It's my fault. It's all his fault. Okay. According to one's association with the material qualities of goodness, passion, and ignorance in this life, in one's next life, one receives an appropriate body. Modern civilization does not know that because of varied association in material nature, the living entity, although eternal, is placed in different diseased conditions known as the many species of life. Modern civilization is unaware of the laws of nature. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashah ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself the form of activities that are in actuality carried out by nature. Every living entity is under the full control of the stringent laws of material nature, but rascals think themselves independent. Actually, however, they cannot be independent. This is foolishness. A foolish civilization is extremely risky, and therefore the Krishna consciousness movement is trying to make people aware of their fully dependent condition under the stringent laws of nature, and is trying to save them from being victimized by strong maya, which is Krishna's external energy. Behind the material laws is the supreme controller, Krishna. Maya dakshina prakriti suyate sacharacharam. Therefore, if one surrenders unto Krishna, mamiva ye prapadyante mayametam tarantite, one may immediately be freed from the control of external nature. Sagunan samatityaitan bhavabhoyaya kalpate. This should be the aim of life.
That brings us to the cow break. We'll be back here at 15 minutes after 5. Go Premanande Hari Bhagavan. We're continuing the reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're on Canto 7, Chapter 13, The Behavior of a Perfect Person. We're now on text number 26. In this human form of life, a man and woman unite for sensual pleasure of sex, But by actual experience, we have observed that none of them are happy. Therefore, seeing the contrary results, I have stopped taking part in materialistic activities. The opt-out. Everyone can opt out whenever they wish. Purport. As stated by Prahlad Maharaj, man and woman both seek sexual enjoyment, and when they are united by the ritualistic ceremony of marriage, they are happy for some time. But finally, there is dissension, and thus there are so many cases of separation and divorce. Although every man and woman is actually eager to enjoy life through sexual unity, the result is disunity and distress. Marriage is recommended to give men and women a concession for restricted sex life, which is also recommended in Bhagavad Gita by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dharma virodo bhuteshu kamosmi. Sex life not against the principles of religion is Krishna. Every living entity is always eager to enjoy sex because materialistic life consists of eating, sleeping, sex, and fear. If eating, sleeping, sexual enjoyment and fear cannot be regulated. But for human society, the plan must be allowed to eat, sleep, and take protection from fear. They must be regulated. The Vedic plan for eating recommends that one take yajna shishta or prasada, food offered to Krishna. Yajna shishta shina santo muchante sarvakil bishai. The devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food that is offered first for sacrifice. In material life, one commits sinful activities, especially in eating, and because of sinful activities, one is condemned by nature's laws to accept another body, which is imposed as punishment. Sex and eating are essential, and therefore they are offered to human society under Vedic restrictions, so that according to the Vedic injunctions, people may eat, sleep, enjoy sex, be protected from fearful life, and gradually be elevated and liberated from the punishment of material existence. Thus, the Vedic injunctions for marriage offer a concession to human society, the idea being that a man and woman united in a ritualistic marriage ceremony should help one another advance in spiritual life. Unfortunately, especially in this age, men and women unite for unrestricted sexual enjoyment. Thus, they are victimized, being obliged to take rebirth in the forms of animals to fulfill their animalistic propensities. The Vedic injunctions therefore warn, Nayam deho deha bhajan liloke kashtan kama marhate vidibhujamye. One should not enjoy sex life like hogs and eat everything, even to the limit of stool. A human being should eat prasada, offered to the deity, and should enjoy sex life according to the Vedic injunctions. He should engage himself in the business of Krishna consciousness. He should save himself from the fearful condition of material existence, and he should sleep only to recover from fatigue due to working hard. The learned Brahmana said that since everything is misused by fruitive workers, he has retired from all fruitive activities. 27. The actual form of life for the living entities is one of spiritual happiness, which is real happiness. This happiness can be achieved only when one stops all materialistic activities. Material sense enjoyment is simply imagination. Therefore, considering this subject matter, I have ceased from all material activities and am lying down here. Purport. The difference between the philosophy of the Mayavadis and that of the Vaishnavas is explained herein. Both the Mayavadis and Vaishnavas know that in materialistic activities there is no happiness. The Mayavadi philosophers, therefore, adhering to the slogan, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mitya, want to refrain from false materialistic activities. They want to stop all activities and merge in the Supreme Brahman. According to the Vaishnava philosophy, however, if one simply ceases from materialistic activity, one cannot remain inactive for very long, and therefore everyone should engage himself in spiritual activities which will solve the problem of suffering in this material world. It is said, therefore, that although the Mayavadi philosophers strive to refrain from materialistic activities and merge in Brahman, and although they may actually merge in the Brahman existence, for want of activity, they fall down again into materialistic activity. Avriya Krishna Param Param Tata Patantyata. Thus the so-called renouncer, unable to remain in meditation upon Brahman, returns to materialistic activities by opening hospitals and schools and so on. Therefore, simply cultivating knowledge that materialistic activities cannot give one happiness, and that one should consequently cease from materialistic activity. Therefore, simply cultivating knowledge that materialistic activities cannot give one happiness, and that one should consequently cease from such activities, is insufficient. One should cease from materialistic activities and take up spiritual activities. Then the solution to the problem will be achieved. Spiritual activities are activities performed according to the order of Krishna. Anukul yena Krishna nushilaram. If one does whatever Krishna says, his activities are not material. If one does whatever Krishna says, his activities are not material. If one does whatever Krishna says, his activities are not material. If one does whatever Krishna says, his activities are not material. If one does whatever Krishna says, his activities are not material. If one does whatever Krishna says, his activities are not material. If one does whatever Krishna says, his activities are not material. If one does whatever Krishna says, his activities are not material. For example, when Arjuna fought in response to the order of Krishna, his activities were not material. Fighting for sense gratification is a materialistic activity, but fighting by the order of Krishna is spiritual. By spiritual activities, one becomes eligible to go back home, back to Godhead, and then enjoy blissful life eternally. Here in the material world, everything is but a mental concoction that will never give us real happiness. The practical solution, therefore, is to cease from materialistic activities and engage in spiritual activities. Jagnatat kamanon yatra loko yam karma bandhanaha. If one works for the sake of pleasing the Supreme Lord Yajna or Vishnu, one is in liberated life. If one fails to do so, however, he remains in a life of bondage. 28. In this way, the conditioned soul living within the body forgets his self-interest because he identifies himself with the body. Because the body is material, his natural tendency is to be attracted by the varieties of the material world. Thus the living entity suffers the miseries of material existence. Purport. Everyone is trying to be happy because, as explained in the previous verse, sukham asyat nano rupam sarvin ho paritistanu. When the living entity is in his original spiritual form, he is happy by nature. There is no question of miseries for the spiritual being. As Krishna is always happy, the living entities who are his parts and parcels are also happy by nature. But because of being put within this material world and forgetting their eternal relationship with Krishna, they have forgotten their real nature. Because every one of us is a part of Krishna, we have a very affectionate relationship with him. But because we have forgotten our identities and are considering the body to be the self, we are afflicted by all the troubles of birth, death, old age, and disease. This misconception in materialistic life continues unless and until one comes to understand his relationship with Krishna. The happiness sought by the conditioned soul is certainly only illusion, as explained in the next verse. Just as a deer, because of ignorance, cannot see the water within a well covered by grass, but runs after water elsewhere, the living entity covered by the material body does not see the happiness within himself, but runs after happiness in the material world. Purport. This is an accurate example depicting how the living entity, because of lack of knowledge, runs after happiness outside his own self. When one understands his real identity as a spiritual being, he can understand the supreme spiritual being, Krishna, and the real happiness exchanged between Krishna and oneself. It is very interesting to note how this verse points to the body's growth from the spirit soul. The modern materialistic scientist thinks that life grows from matter, but actually the fact is that matter grows from life. The life, or the spirit soul, is compared herein to water, from which clumps of matter grow in the form of grass. One who is ignorant of scientific knowledge of the spirit soul does not look inside the body to find happiness in the soul. Instead, he goes outside to search for happiness, just as a deer without knowledge of the water beneath the grass goes out to the desert to find water. The Krishna Conscious Movement is trying to remove the ignorance of misled human beings who are trying to find water outside the jurisdiction of life. Raso Vaisaha, Raso Humapsukunteya, the taste of water is Krishna. To quench one's thirst, one must taste water by association with Krishna. This is the Vedic injunction. 30. The living entity tries to achieve happiness and rid himself of the causes of distress, but because the various bodies of the living entities are under the full control of material nature, all his plans in different bodies, one after another, are ultimately baffled. Purport. Because the materialist is in gross ignorance of how the laws of material nature act upon him as a result of his fruit of activity, he mistakenly plans to enjoy bodily comfort in the human form of life through so-called economic development, through pious activities for elevation to the higher planetary systems, and in many other ways. But factually, he becomes a victim of the reactions of his fruit of activities. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated as the Supersoul within the cores of the hearts of all living entities. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Sarvasya chaham hridisa nivishto matek smitir gana mapohanam cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. The desires and activities of the living entity, of the living being, are observed by the Supersoul, who is the Upadrashta, the overseer, and who orders material nature to fulfill the various desires of the living being. As clearly stated in Bhagavad Gita 18:61, Ishvara sarva bhutanam hrida sharjana tishtati ramayan sarva bhutani yantra grudhani mayaya. The Lord is situated in everyone's heart, and as one desires, the Lord gives one various types of bodies, which are like machines. Riding on such a machine, the living entity wanders throughout the universe under the control of material nature and its modes. Thus, the living being is not at all free to act, but is fully under the control of material nature, which is fully under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As soon as a living entity is victimized by material desires to lord it over material nature, he is subjected to the control of material nature, which is supervised by the Supreme Soul. The result is that one again and again makes plans and is baffled. But as foolish as he is, he cannot see the cause of his bafflement. This cause is distinctly stated in Bhagavad Gita. Because one has not surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he must work under the control of material nature and its stringent laws. Daivihi esha guna mayi lama maya dharatyaya. The only means of becoming free from this entanglement is to surrender to the Supreme Lord. In the human form of life, the living entity must accept this instruction from the Supreme Person, Krishna. Sarva dharmam parityaja mamekam sharanam braja. Do not plan to achieve happiness and drive away distress. You will never be successful. Simply surrender unto me. Unfortunately, however, the living entity does not accept the Supreme Lord's clearly stated instructions from Bhagavad Gita, and thus he becomes a perpetual captive of the laws of material nature. Jagnartatkamanonyatra loko yam kama mandanaha. If one does not act for the satisfaction of Krishna, who is known as Vishnu, or yajna, he must be entangled in the reactions of fruitive activities. These reactions are called papa and punya, sinful and pious. By pious activities, one is elevated to the higher planetary systems, and by impious activities, one is degraded to lower species of life, in which he is punished by the laws of nature. In the lower species of life, there is an evolutionary process, and when the term of the living entity's imprisonment or punishment in the lower species is finished, he is again offered a human form and given a chance to decide for himself which way he should plan. If he again misses the opportunity, he is again put into the cycle of birth and death, going sometimes higher and sometimes lower, turning on the samsara chakra, the wheel of material existence. As a wheel sometimes goes up and sometimes comes down, the stringent laws of material nature make the living entity in material existence sometimes happy and sometimes distressed. How he suffers in a cycle of happiness and distress is described in the next verse.
Text 31. Materialistic activities are always mixed with three kinds of miserable conditions: adhyatmika, adhidaivika, and adhibhautika. Therefore, even if one achieves some success by performing such activities, what is the benefit of this success? One is still subjected to birth, death, old age, disease, and the reactions of his fruitive activities. Purport. According to the materialistic way of life, if a poor man, after laboring very, very hard, gets some material profit at the end of his life, he is considered a success, even though he again dies while suffering the threefold miseries, adhyatmika, adhidaivika, and adhibhautika. No one can escape the threefold miseries of materialistic life, namely miseries pertaining to the body and mind, miseries pertaining to the difficulties imposed by society, community, nation, and other living entities, and miseries inflicted upon us by natural disturbances from earthquakes, famines, droughts, floods, epidemics, and so on, wildfires. If one works very hard, suffering the threefold miseries, and then is successful in getting some small benefit, what is the value of his benefit? Besides that, even if a karmi is successful in accumulating some material wealth, he still cannot enjoy it, for he must die in bereavement. I have even seen a dying man begging a medical attendant to increase his life by 4 years so that he could complete his material plans. Of course, the medical man was unsuccessful in expanding the life of the man, who therefore died in great bereavement. Everyone must die in this way, and after one's mental condition is taken into account by the laws of material nature, he is given another chance to fulfill his desires in a different body. Material plans for material happiness have no value, but under the spell of the illusory energy, we consider them extremely valuable. There were many politicians, social reformers, and philosophers who died very miserably without deriving any practical benefit value from their material plans. Therefore, a sane and sensible man never desires to work hard under the conditions of threefold miseries, only to die in disappointment. Text 32. The Brahmana continued, "I am actually seeing how a rich man, who is a victim of his senses, is very greedy to accumulate wealth, and therefore suffers from insomnia due to fear from all sides, despite his wealth and opulence." Purport. Greedy capitalists accumulate wealth under so many miserable conditions, the result being that because they collect money by questionable means, their minds are always agitated. Thus they are unable to sleep at night, and they have to take pills for mental tranquility to invite sleep. And sometimes even the pills are a failure. Consequently, the result of having accumulated money by so much labor is certainly not happiness, but only distress. What is the value of acquiring a comfortable position if one's mind is always disturbed? Narottam Das Thakur has therefore sung, "Samsara bishanale dibani shahiya dwale judayita na kainu upaya." I am suffering from the poisonous effect of material enjoyment, and thus my heart is always burning and is almost on the verge of failure. Heart failure, that is. And the result of the greedy capitalist's unnecessary accumulation of wealth is that he must suffer from a blazing fire of anxiety and always be concerned with how to save his money and invest it properly to get more
and more. Such a life is certainly not very happy, but because of the spell of the illusory energy, materialistic persons engage in such activities. As far as our Krishna consciousness movement is concerned, we are getting money naturally by the grace of God by selling our literature. This literature is not sold for our sense gratification. To spread the Krishna consciousness movement, we need so many things. And Krishna is therefore supplying us the requisite money to advance this mission. The mission of Krishna is to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And for this purpose, we naturally must have sufficient money. Therefore, according to the advice of Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, we should not give up attachment to money that can spread the Krishna consciousness movement. Srila Rupa Goswami says in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Pa-pancha-gata-ya-bhujya haribandhu-bandhu-vastu-naha mamukshabhi-paritya-go-vairagyam-pa-go-khatyate. When persons eager to achieve liberation renounce things related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, thinking them to be material, the renunciation is called incomplete. Money that can help in spreading the Krishna consciousness movement is not a part of the material world, and we should not give it up, thinking that it is material. Srila Rupa Goswami advises, anasattasya vishayan yatarham upayunjataha nirbanda krishna sambande yuktam vairagyam uchate. When one is not attached to anything, but at the same time accepts everything in relation to Krishna, one is rightly situated above possessiveness. Money is undoubtedly coming in great quantities, but we should not be attached to this money for sense gratification. Every cent should be spent for spreading the Krishna consciousness movement, not for sense gratification. There is danger for a preacher when he receives great quantities of money, for as soon as he spends even a single cent of the collection for his personal sense gratification, he becomes a fallen victim. The preachers of the Krishna consciousness movement should be extremely careful not to misuse the immense quantities of money needed to spread this movement. Let us not make this money the cause of our distress. It should be used for Krishna, and that will cause our eternal happiness. Money is Lakshmi, or the goddess of fortune, the companion of Narayana. Lakshmiji must always remain with Narayana, and then there need be no fear of degradation. 33. Those who are considered materially powerful and rich are always full of anxieties because of governmental laws, thieves, rogues, enemies, family members, animals, birds, persons seeking charity, the inevitable time factor, and even their own selves. Thus they are invariably afraid. Purport. The word sasmat, svasmat, means from oneself. Because of attachment for money, the richest person is even afraid of himself. He fears that he may have locked his money in an unsafe manner, or may have committed some mistake. Aside from the government and its income tax, and aside from thieves, even a rich man's own relatives are always thinking of how to take advantage of him and take away his money. Sometimes these relatives are described as Svajanika Dasyu, which means rogues and thieves in the guise of relatives. Therefore, there is no need to accumulate wealth or unnecessarily endeavor for more and more money. The real purpose of life, the real business of life, is to ask, who am I? And to understand oneself. One should understand the position of the living entity in this material world and understand how to return home back to Godhead. 34. Those in human, this is the python speaking, still.
those in human society are intelligent. Those in human society who are intelligent should give up the original cause of lamentation, illusion, fear, anger, attachment, poverty, and unnecessary labor. The original cause of all these is the desire for unnecessary prestige and money. Purport. Here is the difference between Vedic civilization and the modern demoniac civilization. Vedic civilization concerned itself with how to achieve self-realization, and for this purpose, one was recommended to have a small income to maintain body and soul together. The society was divided into Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, and the members of this society would limit their endeavors to meeting their minimum demands. The Brahmanas, in particular, would have no material desires. Because the Kshatriyas had to rule the people, it was necessary for them to have money and prestige. But the Vaishyas were satisfied with agricultural produce and milk from the cow, and if by chance there were excess, trade was allowed. The Shudras were also happy, for they would get food and shelter from the three higher classes. In the demoniac civilization of the present day, however, there is no question of Brahmanas or Kshatriyas. There are only so-called workers and a flourishing mercantile class who have no goal in life. According to Vedic civilization, the ultimate perfection of life is to take sannyas. But at this present moment, people do not know why sannyas is accepted. Because of misunderstanding, they think that one accepts sannyas to escape social responsibilities. But one does not accept sannyas to escape from responsibility to society. Generally, one accepts sannyas at the fourth stage of spiritual life. One begins as a brahmachari and then becomes a grihastha, a vanaprastha, and finally a sannyasi to take advantage of the duration of one's life by engaging oneself fully in self-realization. Sannyas does not mean begging from door to door to accumulate money for sense gratification. However, because in Kali Yuga people are more or less prone to sense gratification, immature sannyas is not recommended. Srila Rupa Goswami writes in his Nectar of Instruction, Atyahada priyaschascha prachaponyanagraha janasankascha alyamcha shadbir bhaktir vinashyati. One's devotional service is spoiled when he becomes too entangled in the following six activities. 1. Eating more than necessary or collecting more funds than required. 2. Over-endeavoring for mundane things that are very difficult to obtain. 3. Talking unnecessarily about mundane subject matters. 4. Practicing the scriptural rules and regulations only for the sake of following them and not for the sake of spiritual advancement, or rejecting the rules and regulations of the scriptures and working independently or whimsically. 5. Associating with worldly-minded persons who are not interested in Krishna consciousness. And 6. Being greedy for mundane achievements. A sannyasi should have an institution meant to preach Krishna consciousness. He need not accumulate money for himself. We recommend that as soon as money accumulates in our Krishna consciousness movement, 50% of it should be invested in printing books and 50% for expenditures, especially in establishing centers all over the world. The managers of the Krishna consciousness movement should be extremely cautious in regard to this point. Otherwise, money will be the cause of lamentation, illusion, fear, anger, material attachment, material poverty, and unnecessary hard work. When I was alone in Vrindavan, I never attempted to construct mats or temples. Rather, I was fully satisfied with the small amount of money I could gather by selling back to Godhead. And thus I would provide for myself and also print the literature. When I went to foreign countries, I lived according to the same principle. But when Europeans and Americans began to give money profusely, I started temples and deity worship. The same principle should still be followed. Whatever money is collected should be spent for Krishna and not a farthing for sense gratification. This is the Bhagavat principle. 35. The bee and the python are two excellent spiritual masters who give us exemplary instructions regarding how to be satisfied by collecting only a little and how to stay in one place and not move. Text 36. Oh, excuse me, I got carried away.
A question from Loka. We'll take it.
In one of the earlier purports, Prabhupada writes that one should not give up attachment to money that can be used for Krishna consciousness.
Correct.
So I just want to understand the difference between not giving up money that can be used for Krishna consciousness versus not giving up attachment to money that can be used for Krishna consciousness. Because in one case you are not giving up money, but in one case you are also attached to the money. There is attachment to the money. So
the point is, you know, we have a goal to expand the Krishna conscious movement. And to do that, we require resources, and money comes in handy a lot. So when we have that goal, then we're hungry all the time for more money, and we expect it, because Lord Chaitanya is the greatest capitalist, and he's ready to back anybody who wants to take a risk on taking one of his franchises and expanding it. So, we're attached to depending on Lord Chaitanya to send us money. And also, if he doesn't send it, we're not disappointed either, because it's up to him. We're ready to use it at any time. Right?
Yes. I guess what I was trying to understand was that normally when somebody attached to something, then they cross certain boundaries because to fulfill the attachment. So what would be a healthy way to be attached to money for Krishna? And what would be an unhealthy way to be attached to
it? A healthy way is that we stick with dharma in order to get the money that we need. Like we preach, and preaching is the best business. We create into selling, soap and a rope, and, what other concoctions anybody can come up with, because we need more money. We depend on Krishna by preaching. Like Prabhupada gave the principle. He was in Vrindavan, and he preached by doing what his guru said, print books if you ever get money. So he printed what he could, which was a magazine. He sold it, he took the money, and he used it, put it back in. And if we stick to that principle, that we're not attached to money for the money's sake. We're attached to money because we can expand the preaching with it. And if we do it by the means that are acceptable, for sadhus, then we won't be disturbed by the whole thing. Like the Prabhupada talked about business. He said you must understand what business means. Business means if you're going to do business, you're doing it so you can put the money back into expanding Krishna consciousness. But he was very careful about even, allowing people to go into business, because it's so easy to get mission creep and then get absorbed in and just making money and not have time for preaching.
Thank you.
Just okay, we got a quote here.
Can I offer two verses to what you just said?
The gentleman from Oroville, California.
There you go.
Which may or may not still be there.
It probably isn't there anymore, so maybe I don't exist, because who cares?
Go right ahead.
The first verse is Anashrita Karmapalam Karyam Karma Karotya Sasanyasi Chayogija Naninadnir Nachakriya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, one who is unattached to the fruits of his work and who works as he is obligated is in the renounced order of life, and he is the true mystic. Not he who lights no fire and performs no duty. So if you light fire and spread Krishna consciousness and use all the energy at your disposal and collect billions of dollars and light a fire that spreads Krishna consciousness, and you're not attached to it for yourself, but for pleasing Krishna and for helping others, uplift the world in Prabhupada's mission, then there's no question of there being attachment.
We have to move on.
Another, but that was good.
Gotta move on. Please hold it for later. Text number 36. From the bumblebee, I have learned to be unattached to accumulating money. For although money is as good as honey, anyone can kill its owner and take it away. Purport. The honey gathered in the comb is taken away by force. Therefore, one who accumulates money should realize that he may be harassed by the government or by thieves or even killed by enemies. Especially in this age of Kali Yuga, it is said that instead of protecting the money of the citizens, the government itself will take away the money with the force of law. The learned Brahmana had therefore decided that he should not accumulate any money. One should own as much as he immediately needs. There's no need to keep a big balance at hand, although, along with the fear that it may be plundered by the government or by thieves. I do not endeavor to get anything, but I am satisfied with whatever is achieved in its own way. I do not get anything. If I do not get anything, I am patient and unagitated like a python and lie down in this way for many days. Purport. One should learn detachment from the bumblebees, for they collect drops of honey here and there and keep it in their honeycomb. But then someone comes and by force takes all the honey away, leaving the bumblebees with nothing. Therefore, one should learn from the bumblebee not to keep more money than one needs. Similarly, one should learn from the python to stay in one place for many, many days without food and then eat only if something comes in its own way. Thus, the learned Brahmana gave instructions gained from two creatures, namely the bumblebee and the python. That's a good name for like a restaurant or something. You come and sit there and then like, we might wait on you or not. You just 38. Sometimes I eat a very small quantity, and sometimes a great quantity. Sometimes the food is very palatable, and sometimes it is stale. Sometimes prasad is offered with great respect, and sometimes food is given neglectfully. Sometimes I eat during the day, and sometimes at night. Thus I eat whatever is easily available. To cover my body, I use whatever is available, whether it be linen, silk, cotton, bark, or deerskin, according to my destiny, and I am fully satisfied and unagitated. Sometimes I lie on the surface of the earth, sometimes on leaves, grass, or stone, sometimes on a pile of ashes, or sometimes, by the will of others, in a palace on a first-class bed with pillows. It sounds like a Bob Dylan song. Purport. The learned Brahmana's description indicates different types of births, from one lies down according to one's body. Sometimes one takes birth as an animal and sometimes as a king. When he takes birth as an animal, he must lie down on the ground. And when he takes birth as a king or a very rich man, he is allowed to lie in first-class rooms in huge palaces decorated with beds and other furniture. Such facilities are not available, however, at the sweet will of the living entity. Rather, they are available by the supreme will, Parichaya, or by the arrangement of Maya. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, 1861, Ishvara sarva bhutanam vrida sharajana tishtiti pramayan sarva bhutani yantra rudhani mayaya. We got to get a big banner for football games. Bhagavad Gita, 1861. Put it up. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. The living entity, according to his material desires, receives different types of bodies, which are nothing but machines offered by material nature according to the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By the will of the Supreme, one must take different bodies with different means for lying down.
Text 41.
O my Lord, sometimes I bathe myself very nicely, smear sandalwood pulp all over my body, put on a flower garland, and dress in fine garments and ornaments. Then I travel like a king, on the back of an elephant, or on a chariot or horse. Sometimes, however, I travel naked like a person haunted by a ghost. Purport, or 42. Different people are of different mentalities. Different people are of different mentalities. Therefore, it is not my business either to praise them or to blaspheme them. I only desire their welfare, hoping that they will agree to become one with the Supersoul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Purport. As soon as one comes to the platform of Bhakti Yoga, one understands fully the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, is the goal of life. Vasudeva Savaniti Samahatma Sadurabaha. This is the instruction of all the Vedic literature. Vidaish Chasarvar Ahami Vavidya Savadaman Parichaja Mami Kam Sharanambaja. There's no use in praising someone for material qualifications or blaspheming him for material disqualifications. In the material world, good and bad have no meaning, because if one is good, he may be elevated to a higher planetary system, and if one is bad, he may be degraded to the lower planetary systems. People of different mentalities are sometimes elevated and sometimes degraded, but this is not the goal of life. Rather, the goal of life is to become free from elevation and degradation and take to Krishna consciousness. Therefore, a saintly person does not discriminate between that which is supposedly good and supposedly bad. Rather, he desires for everyone to be happy in Krishna consciousness, which is the ultimate goal of life. 43. The mental concoction of discrimination between good and bad should be accepted as one unit and then invested in the mind, which should then be invested in the false ego. The false ego should be invested in a total material energy. This is the process of fighting false discrimination. Purport. This verse describes how a yogi can become free from material affection. Because of material attraction, a karmi cannot see himself. Jnanis can discriminate between matter and spirit, but the yogis, the best of whom are the bhakti yogis, want to return home, back to Godhead. The karmis are completely an illusion. The jnanis are neither in illusion nor in positive knowledge. But the yogis, especially the bhakti yogis, are completely on the spiritual platform, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 14:26. Mamcha yoga bicharina bhakti yogira sevate sagunam samati chaitan brahmabhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down under any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. Thus a devotee's position is secure. A devotee is at once elevated to the spiritual platform. Others, such as jnanis and hatha yogis, can only gradually ascend to the spiritual platform by nullifying their material discrimination on the platform of psychology and nullifying the false ego by which one thinks, I am this body, a product of matter. One must merge the false ego into the total material energy and merge the total material energy into the supreme energetic. This is the process of becoming free from material attraction. 44. A learned, thoughtful person must realize that material existence is illusion. This is possible only by self-realization. A self-realized person who has actually seen the truth should retire from all material activities, being situated in self-realization. Purport. By an analytical study of the entire constitution of the body, one can surely come to the conclusion that the soul is different from all the body's material constituents, such as earth, water, fire, and air. Thus the difference between the body and soul can be realized by a person who is thoughtful, manishi or muni. After this realization of the individual spirit soul, one can very easily understand the supreme spirit soul. If one thus realizes that the individual soul is subordinate to the supreme spirit soul, he achieves self-realization. As explained in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, there are two souls within the body. The body is called Chetra, and there are two Chetragyas, or occupants of the body, namely the Supersoul, Paramatma, and the individual soul. The Supersoul and the individual soul are like two birds sitting in the same tree, the material body. One bird, the individual, forgetful bird, is eating the fruit of the tree, not caring for the instructions of the other bird, which is only a witness to the activities of the first bird, who is his friend. When the forgetful bird comes to understand the supreme friend who is always with him and trying to give him guidance in different bodies, he takes shelter at the lotus feet of that supreme bird. As explained in the yoga process, dhyana vastita tat katena manasapashanti yam yoginaha. When one actually becomes a perfect yogi, by meditation he can see the supreme friend and surrender unto him. This is the beginning of bhakti yoga, or actual life in Krishna consciousness. Text 45. Prahlad Maharaj, you are certainly a self-realized soul and a devotee of the Supreme Lord. You do not care for public opinion or so-called scriptures. For this reason, I have described to you without hesitation the history of my self-realization. Purport. A person who is actually a devotee of Krishna does not care about so-called public opinion. Purport. A person who is actually a devotee of Krishna does not care about so-called public opinion and Vedic or philosophical literatures. Prahlad Maharaj, who was such a devotee, always defied the false instructions of his father and the so-called teachers who were appointed to teach him. Instead, he simply followed the instructions of Narada Muni, his guru, and thus he always remained a stalwart devotee. This is the nature of an intelligent devotee. The Srimad Bhagavatam instructs, Yajyai Sankirtana Prayaya Yajanti Hi Sumeda Saha. One who is actually very intelligent must join the Krishna consciousness movement, realizing his own self as an eternal servant of Krishna, and thus practice constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Narada Muni continued, after Prahlad Maharaj, the king of the demons, heard these instructions from the saint, he understood the occupational duties of a perfect person, Paramahamsa. Thus, he duly worshipped the saint, took his permission, and then left for his own home. Purport, as quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Kibabha prakibha neasi shudra kena noi, kene noi, jay krishna tattva veta shay guru hai. A guru or spiritual master can be anyone who is well conversant with the science of Krishna. Therefore, although Prahlad Maharaj was a grihastha ruling over the demons, he was a paramahamsa, the best of human beings, and thus he is our guru. In the list of gurus or authorities, Prahlad Maharaj's name is therefore mentioned. Swayambhu Narada Shambhu Kumara Kapilo Manu Prahlada Janako Bhishmo Bhavirvaya Sakirvayam. The conclusion is that a Paramahamsa is an exalted devotee, Bhagavat Priya. Such a Paramahamsa may be in any stage of life, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, or Sannyas, and be equally liberated and exalted. Thus end the Bhaktivinoda purports of the 7th canto, 13th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Behavior of a Perfect Person. So thank you very much for coming, everyone. We'll start up again tomorrow at 10:45. 10:45 a.m. and looking very close to finishing the sixth canto in the next day and a half, seventh canto in the next day and a half, about 180 or something like that. Go Premananda Nitai Gaura Hari Bo 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 Hari Bo Hari Bo Nitai Gaura Hari Bo. Nitai Gaura Hari Bo. Mantra Kavala Rishta Kripa Sinadeva Cha Patitanam Pavani Bhyo Vaishnavegyo Namo Maha
Marman Natari Ar Marman Natari Ar Marman Natari Ar Marman. Hey! Natari Ar Marman Natari Ar Marman Natari Ar Marman Natari Ar Marman.